Matter of Spirit is the quarterly justice journal of the Intercommunity Peace and Justice Center. This article appeared in the spring 2018 issue on the Me Too movement. Women Run in 2018 by Susan Rose Francois, CSJP. Susan Rose Francois, CSJP, serves in congregation leadership for the Sisters of St. Joseph of Peace. She served as city elections officer in Portland, Oregon, prior to joining the community. Voters participating in the 2018 primary elections will find an unprecedented number of women's names on the ballot. Across the country, more women are deciding to stand for political office. As of early February, the Center for American Women in Politics at Rutgers University had identified 637 women who have filed or are likely to file for the U.S. Senate, U.S. House, governor, or other statewide office. This number does not include additional women running for elected office in their local communities. In most cases, they are running for seats currently occupied by men. While the 2016 census counted women as making up 50.8% of the U.S. population, women hold only 19.8% of the 535 seats in the U.S. Congress and 23.7% of the 312 statewide elected offices across the country. Women of color are even further underrepresented, making up only 35.8% of the women serving in Congress and 10.8% of the women in statewide elected office being women of color. The low percentage of women in elected office continues at the local level. With women making up only a third of over 500,000 elected offices in the United States, overwhelmingly at the local level, we need new voices in government, says Sophia Piera, mayor of Arcata, California, and a community manager for She Should Run, a nonpartisan effort founded in 2011 to expand the talent pool of women running for office. People are fed up with a system that hasn't worked for them, and women are a part of the solution. The dramatic increase in the number of women running for office in 2018 coincides with the increased attention to the realities women face today, from the Me Too movement to the mobilization of women via the Women's March and other grassroots organizing efforts. Not only are more women running for office, women are also creating new networks of communication and support, utilizing social media and old-fashioned in-person relational meetings. For example, more than 5,000 huddles, small local groups, have formed in the last year to continue the work of the Women's March. Other women's groups have sprouted up across the country and online to register voters, advocate for issues such as education, immigration, or women's health, and to hold elected officials accountable. This increased activism has the potential to bring together women from a wide range of backgrounds and experiences in the work of addressing the intersection of class, race, sexual orientation, disability, and gender. Jackie Yerby, a local community activist in Portland, Oregon, has become more engaged in local women's groups over the past year. "Often, I am the only woman of color in a space, or one of the very few," she says. "It's hard to talk about racism and centering the voice of people of color in the conversation because we always have to navigate white fragility." Yerby notes that while it is important to be in conversation, it needs to come from a space of mutuality, not privilege. "We are at a point in time," Sophia Piera believes, "where we are able to lift up voices that may not have been heard in the past, to lift up voices of those historically marginalized." This turning point is reflected in the increasing numbers of women running for office. Women are realizing it is incumbent upon them to make a difference and create change. Piera also agrees that as women see other women run for office, they recognize that this is something they can do. Life experience as a professional, parent, entrepreneur, or community leader has prepared them, even if it is not the typical resume we have long presumed was necessary for a political candidate. The rules are different now, she says. The political upheaval our country has experienced since the 2016 presidential election has also inspired more women to run. I realize that our country would not change as long as people in the carpool lane, regular people, stayed on the sidelines, said Laura Moser, candidate for the 7th Congressional District in Houston, Texas. But the stakes were so huge that I felt I had to take the leap. And I'm so proud to be part of this wave of first-time women candidates all over the country. Sophia Piera manages the incubator community of She Should Run, made up of more than 16,000 women across the country who are in the early stages of exploring running for office. This supportive community provides access to role models, mentors, guidance, and advice. We have been in this work since 2011, but have noticed more women are stepping up. She encourages women who want to make a difference to consider joining or running for a local board or commission. Most elected offices are at the local level, she says. If you believe that it is important to have women's voices present in policy discussions, legislative debates, and budget decisions, what can you do? Be an advocate. Pay attention to issues in your local community. Join local groups advocating for change. Call your local elected officials. Make your voice heard. Support women running for office. Volunteer or contribute to political campaigns. Encourage a strong woman you know to run for office. The She Should Run website has nomination form. Vote. Make sure that your voter registration is up to date. Vote in local elections. Encourage a young woman you know to register to vote.